Welcome to The Ziglar Show. This is episode 435. Today, I bring you 8 minutes of Zig Ziglar on stage, delivering a message on self-image and honing in on what comes out of our mouths. This show will open your eyes and ears to what has possibly become normal to you and is for all of us to a degree, and it may be handicapping our success, if not sabotaging it. The good news, we can correct it quickly. So here we go.
I'm a foodie, and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico, and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon, really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky, where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of 7 requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
What you are and where you are because of what's gone into your mind. You can change what you are. You can change where you are by changing what goes into your mind. You cannot become what you need to be by remaining what you are. If you can't take a huge step to begin with, take as big a step as you can, but take it now. That's the key. Take it now.
You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
Today's a brand new day, and it's yours.
Well, hello, Ziglar Inspiration Nation. It kind of flows, doesn't it? I'm your honored host, Kevin Miller, and today I bring you Zig, a message from him that I actually had not heard before. And then we break it down to where we take some of the high points from the message. And as usual, we get into the nitty gritty. Before we dive in, I just got a quick request. If you have gotten value from this show, from Zig Ziglar, please leave a review in iTunes or Stitcher. Let people know what they can expect from the show and why they might listen to it, what value you've gotten. Again, it just takes a moment, but it really helps others find us. And please continue to let others know about us. Share the show with a friend, share it on Facebook, Twitter, shoot an email to someone you know who would be inspired by the show, who you know who really needs it. And yes, that benefits us. As of this recording, you're sharing. There's been a lot, apparently, a lot of sharing, a lot of new subscribers, so many that it has put us absolutely at the top of the iTunes rankings, literally above folks like Dave Ramsey and Tim Ferriss. I don't know how long it will last, but to be ahead of guys like those and even NPR is a big deal. It's an incredible testimony that Zig Ziglar, such an icon, has a message that is ranking him ahead of guys who are in their prime. Even as Zig passed away over two years ago, that's what he wants for us, for you and me, though, is to leave a powerful, long lasting legacy. And yeah, as I'm looking right now at iTunes, we are the 10th ranked podcast of all podcasts. That's just powerful. Thank you guys for sharing and for causing so many new subscribers to come on and bring this show to the very top. So, hey, let's get with it. I'm going to give you Zig. Here we go.
Step number 13 for building a healthy self-image. Well, you need to join the smile, firm handshake, and compliment club. That's when you smile at people, you get a smile back. That makes you feel good. When you have a firm handshake, that makes a favorable impression. When you give them compliments, that does the same thing. You need to live a moral, ethical life. Why? Because guilt is the greatest image destroyer known to man. When you've got nothing to fear and you have nothing to hide, ladies and gentlemen, you can do more with your life. You'll like you better as a result of it. Number 15, you need to take short, easy steps. For example, when you learn one new word a day, some amazing things can happen in your life. One new word a day will make some dramatic changes. Bruce Barton put it this way: for good or ill, your conversation is your advertisement. Every time you open your mouth, you let men look into your mind. Do they see it well-clothed, neat, and businesslike? That's a good question to ask. Take short, easy steps. For example, you wouldn't move a child from teaching them how to prepare Georgia ice cream all the way to baked Alaska. Now, for the uninitiated and the underprivileged, Georgia ice cream is grits. If grits ain't groceries, folks, I don't really know what is. But what I'm really saying is, you don't move them from the very simple to the very complicated in one easy step. You don't go from the multiplication table to advanced calculus. You take those short, easy steps. I'll talk about this in the Gold Seminar, but in 10 months' time, I lost 37 pounds by losing 1 9-tenths ounces a day. Everybody can do that. I wrote "See You at the Top," 8th best-selling hardback of the last decade, according to People magazine. I wrote it in 10 months, 384 pages, by writing 1 1/4 pages a day on average for 10 months. You build winning relationship. You build that self-image. You build your confidence one step at a time. You become a professional salesperson, a better accountant, a better physician, a more effective parent, teacher, or whatever, by taking those one step at a time. Number 16, finish the job. Whether it's cutting the grass or reading the book, go ahead and finish it. You feel good about yourself when you put it down and say, "That's good. I got lots out of it," as versus, "Well, I started reading it, but you know, I got busy." You know the rest of that story. You need to be a quitter. Now, what did I mean, be a quitter? Quit smoking. Quit drinking. Quit being late. Quit things that are destructive. I talked to my son-in-law, Richard Oates, a couple of days ago. He's been fighting the smoking habit now for many, many years. He just entered his fifth week as a non-smoker. And he said, "Zeke, I cannot begin to tell you how much better I feel about myself." When you win a victory, you do feel better about yourself. Number 18, you make a victory list. My friend Joe Batten, who wrote Tough-Minded Management, says that you need to accumulate a list of 200 victories you've earned in your life. Now, you might say, "Well, I've never won 200. I challenge you, go back to your childhood and start listing them. Then when things are not going well, get that list out and say, "Hey, I won this one, I won this one, I won this one, I won this one. Hey, I'm on a roll. I can win this one too." It's amazing what it will do to you. Learn, number 19, a new skill or a hobby. People who've gone back to college always thrill me because of what it does for them. They're on a growth mode. Learn to use the computer. Learn to play chess or bridge. Learn a new hobby or something that will make a difference. Don't ever confuse education with training or experience with intelligence. That's step number 20. It's okay to admire a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, but without training, they couldn't handle your job. I read in Reader's Digest one of the most intriguing little goodies. My son Paul, a lieutenant, is an aviation instructor at Naval Air Station, North Island, San Diego. At Paul's annual physical, the doctor was studying his chart and noticed his birth date. "What a coincidence," he said. "I was born the same day." Paul thought to himself, "Here's a guy the same age as me, and he's already a doctor." The physician continued reading my son's chart and then exclaimed, "Wow, that's fantastic. You're only 28, and you're teaching guys how to fly." Isn't it interesting? What we admire in other people seems to be what they admire in us. Don't put yourself down when you build somebody else up. No, without the training, they could not be that professional. No, without training, they could not do what you are doing. Number 21, to build a healthy self-image, get in shape. Now, when I say get in shape, I mean get in shape physically. When I lost the 37 pounds, I cannot begin to tell you what it did for me. It was absolutely dramatic. It made me feel better. There might be occasions when you need to alter your physical appearance. Simple example. When my daughter Julie was 17 years old, we were sitting around talking one day, and she said something about her ears. And I said, "Well, what about your ears?" She said, "Daddy, haven't you ever noticed that I always have my ears covered?" I said, "No, I really hadn't." Now, isn't that something? She had been my daughter 17 years. I never noticed. I just always thought, now here is really a neat kid. She is so pretty. She said, "Well, Dad, my ears stick out. And I've always had a problem with them." I said, "Well, why don't you tell me sooner?" She said, "I didn't know you'd do anything about it." I said, "Well, Julie, that's a fairly simple solution to that problem." We went to see a plastic surgeon. It was a relatively simple problem. He just tucked them back. And I'm here to tell you, when you see my daughter Julie today, you'll see her ears. Her hair is always fixed. And what it did for her self-image is absolutely remarkable. Now, I don't think you can solve every self-image problem surgically, but it is one of the things that can be done, ladies and gentlemen, if the need is there, and it can make a difference.
All right, well, Zig starts off there talking about the Smile, Firm Handshake, and Compliment Club. And as so often, folks, it made me think of my kids, or just kids in general, that people are not taught that. Kids are not, and most adults walking around today, we're never taught these basic things. And that's the benefit that we not only get to hear this today and apply it to our lives for great benefit, but we get to pass it on, whether to our kids, to a friend, to a spouse, whatever. I mean, he says, smile at people and they smile back, which goes to you reap what you sow. We had a show, a Zig clip show. It's been a while now, but it was basically you get back what you put out. And I must admit, this is an acute reality to me, folks. I do endeavor to give a smile, an upbeat hello, especially to those with a lower place on the societal totem pole who often don't get that. But it seems more and more there's little or less reaction than there used to be. That people, I mean, they won't hardly acknowledge it. And it's no wonder that they do have a place that is not very attractive. I mean, not to throw stones. I mean, they probably got where they are because of other unhealthy people in their lives that they're victims to a great degree. But just the reality that they are reaping what they sow, that they don't understand, is that they would make the effort to force that smile, to give a handshake, to give a compliment, that it does amazing things for them. It's life-changing. It's small, but life-changing. Because meanwhile, those who can muster up a nice smile, a firm handshake, and a compliment find themselves, I mean, I see it. I see it with my own employees, people who I give opportunities with. It gives them job security. It gives them advancement. It gives them opportunity, or at the least, just nicer responses from others. I had the difficult challenge of working fairly closely with some employees of a business that we revamped the business. And we tried to hold on to the employees and bring them up. To raise them up and help them turn around as well. But ultimately, their own negativity proved to sink them. I'll talk more on that in just a minute. But Zig says next, he says, you need to live a moral and ethical life. When you have nothing to fear and nothing to hide, you have no guilt. Guilt erodes your confidence and your effectiveness. And boy, I think we see this more and more. And again, in our culture, where people are not, they don't trust themselves to a degree. They're not okay and at peace with themselves, and it does cause guilt. And I think that's what causes people to hide and to stay on the fringes, to not seek intimacy and deep friendships. And to going back to that, they're the ones that they don't have a smile to give, they don't have a handshake to offer, they don't have encouraging words. But that's not you and me. That's why we're here, right? Well, Zig shoots off next. He says, you need to take short, easy steps. Now, I pulled that out. It's almost a little out of context of what we're really getting into here. But listen again, if you have not, or if you have, go listen to it again, to Ziglar's show, episode 432, just a few shows ago, where Aaron McHugh talks about becoming a pro in 8 minutes per day. That's what we're talking about here, taking short, easy steps. Well, hey, Zig next delivers a doozy, in my opinion, and I'm going to dig into this one. Your conversation, he says, is your advertisement. Have you ever thought about that? I had not thought about it. And that, I mean, it makes sense to me, but really, your conversation, what you speak, what you talk about, is your personal advertisement in regards to who you are, your character, what matters to you, your values, your beliefs. Every time you open your mouth, Zig goes on to say, you let people look into your mind. Do they see it well-clothed, neat, and businesslike? I often play a game with myself, folks, where I think, gosh, if there was a videotape on me right now in my home, in my bedroom, in my place of work, in my office alone, as I'm traveling alone, whatever, if I had a videotape on me, would I be proud of what people saw? In a sense, Zig's talking a little bit in this reference. He's saying, when we open our mouths, people get to look inside of our minds. What do they see? This is huge, folks. It's easy to, I think, conceptualize a little bit, yet so profound and not often really understood and taken at face value for what it really is. Trying to listen. If you do this, try to listen. Take this idea right now, okay, this concept. Try to listen. Really listen to people and just listen and recognize their tone, their spirit, and of course, the topics they're talking about. Is it positive and uplifting? Or is it negative and downgrading? Is it hopeful or critical, expecting good or bad? I mean, it tells who they are. So here's an analogy. I'm a little bit of a Facebook stalker, okay, admittedly. When I want to check up on an employee, a vendor, a possible interviewee, somebody who's trying to connect with me, I'll look them up on Facebook. And most of the time you can find them there. And in a glance, I can get a feel for their character, what matters to them. Are they posting negativity or just sarcasm or crude remarks or snarkiness? Or are they using poor judgment in what they post to the public? Well, even more with what people actually say and speak in your presence. I mean, go into your work tomorrow and listen to your whatever it is, coworkers, managers, bosses, employees, customers, patients. I mean, does their conversation draw you to them? Does it cause you to trust them and want to be with them? There may be people you're friends with and you talk with, but if I step back and say, do you trust them? Do you trust that they would have your benefit at heart, that they would come through for you in a pinch? Would you leave your children with them? Would they be a good influence to your children or others in your lives? Do they attract you, or are you really kind of eager to be out of their presence? How do they make you feel? Uplifted? Critical? I mean, the dangerous and daunting reality may be how we don't really even realize it. It's just the norm. It's just humanity, and it's what we're used to. But man, it affects us. Which brings us to the next point, listening to ourselves. Wow. I mean, what do we talk about? Or sometimes more acutely, how do we respond to others? Folks, this is one that, I mean, I host the Ziglar Show. I get to have tens and tens of thousands of people per month listening to me. So this is high on my mind and I catch myself. It doesn't mean I'm immune to it. I have not arrived. Maybe I'm a little better, hopefully, at catching myself. And I have to admit, I think I'm better, but I have a habit of responding to people with self-deprecation. So I looked up the definition. Self-deprecation is the act of reprimanding oneself by belittling, undervaluing, or disparaging oneself, or being excessively modest. It can be used in humor and tension release. Well, I think some degree I do that, tension release. Sometimes I'm in a hurry to get to places. I don't really want to chit chat, but I'll say something along the way. And is it a false modesty or just a way to deal with people in conversation? I don't know. But when I step back and look at what I just said, it was not positive. It wasn't uplifting. It didn't encourage somebody's day. Why did I say that? It's just a habit. Is it really? I mean, you can get deep and say, gosh, what's at the root of my soul? That's worthwhile. But it's also just a habit that I can stop and I can come and how's your day? How you doing? Oh, gosh, you know what? I'm so grateful for this day. It's beautiful outside. My work is great. Overall, I'm doing well. How are you? Really? I mean, that's uplifting. That's connecting. I think most people want respect. They want to be respected. I think all of us desire for that. We want to have meaning and purpose in other people's lives and be worth listening to, caring about. Not for authority or even ego, but just for value. We are human, and we want to be worthy of our own humanity. But some people, they don't speak and act in a way that garners that.
Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top-tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin.
When we fast, we stop eating food and allow our body to repair. The research on the benefits and the reset is profound. The problem is, we like food. We're addicted to food. Me too. Missing a meal or a day of eating is terrifying to a lot of people. So here is ProLawn. It's a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. ProLawn is not a diet. It's science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. ProLawn provides a five-day program where you get snacks and soups and beverages all designed to keep your body in a fasting state while taking away the difficulty and mindset of deprivation. I've fasted for 5 days with nothing but water, and my physical and mental state was incredible. My struggle was just wanting to fulfill my habit of eating. It was significant. ProLawn took that away. It's amazing. I feel like I'm cheating, but getting the benefits of fasting. So right now, ProLawn is offering What Drives You listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. So go to ProLawnLife.com/Kevin. That's ProLawnLife.com/Kevin for the special offer.
So not long ago, back to my original story of a business that we, massively revamped. I came in and we started a big revision and had an employee. She did not garner respect from the customers. She knew her job well. She had a lot of experience. She had a good heart. She meant well. She was being paid $16 per hour, which for the role that she was in was actually pretty good. And you know, she, okay, I'm sorry. This may bother some of you. But it's just honest truth. She was pretty obese. She was significantly obese, had a lot of tattoos, often had her hair in a different color. And I am all for, you know, be who you want to be. Okay. But like my dad said, and I think this was when my brother first started getting tattoos. He said, you know what? Hey, that's okay. I love you the same. I respect you. I know who you are. It's going to cause some people to think certain things about you that may or may not be true. Okay. And I understand how we should not judge people by their appearance. We should look deeper, but at face value, we do that. We are human and we do judge a book by its cover. I have to think even more so today, we are so barraged with things, stuff, information, offers that we're even quicker. And if it's a moment's hesitation, a moment's concern, we'll just pass and go to the other. What with this girl, people did. They judged her and she did not get much respect, and it made her job harder. And further, she usually, she often responded kind of back to what I did. Hey, how are your day? Oh, I'm making it, could be worse. And sweet smile, but and she meant well, but again, the complaining and her appearance did not garner respect from the customers. And so she ended up at the brunt end sometimes of irrational customers, of frustrated customers who vented to her, who wouldn't to me. And it got us to the point, though, of my partner and I, we wanted to respect her. We did have some respect for her. And we thought, man, we must have some difficult customers. And she would come into the office multiple times a day with how hard the work is, how much she was working to overcome and hold things together. Well, I'll fast forward to today. We have a different person in that position, making actually a little less because she started not long ago. She's bright-eyed. She's positive. She's grateful for life. She didn't have as much full-out understanding and experience as this other girl, but we could teach that. We did teach that. She's today, it's only, 4 months or so. I don't hear about difficult customers. If she does, she just remarks about, gosh, so-and-so must be having a hard time. They're really struggling. We need to do what we can to lift them up. And she says the job is an absolute joy. Well, that's a big difference. And talk about the trust. Matter of fact, when I was crafting this show right now, I emailed my partner and said, okay, it's about time this lady gets a raise. She is priceless to our company. What huge value. And it's just a difference of spirit and attitude. It's not a competency level in and of the job itself, except though with what she's doing, she is making us money. We get more referrals. We get more retention of our clients and customers because of her. So, on this, take this idea further, folks, and just eavesdrop. Start being aware of people's conversation. Listen into what folks say, whether it's at a restaurant, at other tables, or coworkers where you're at. At the lower ranked employee table, you'll hear more negativity. You'll hear crude remarks. You'll hear snide laughter. You'll hear them talking about people. Again, I'm not bashing this. This is just reality. I'm sure that they have, hard circumstances they've come from, so we're not blaming them at all. But then listen to the talk at the manager's table, the boss's table. And as soon as I say that, I think, oh, I'm sure a lot of you have bosses and managers who you think are flat out evil. Okay, go with the analogy, okay? With the folks who are making more money, who have more opportunity, you're going to hear different conversations by far and large. They're going to be talking about ideas and opportunities and possibilities, expectations. That is just the truth. So you can change. That's so much of Zig's message. You can change which table you're at, which income level you're at by changing what you talk about, what you think about, obviously, but you can even change what you talk about before you change what you think about. And it will help transition that messaging inside your head. Like my wife often says, hey, fake it till you make it. Speak the positive, speak the possibility, speak good, pay attention to what you're saying. So for all of us, wherever we are in life, whatever our circumstance, we get to choose what people will see as they look into our minds as we speak. I got another point of Zig's to dig into, though. I want to take a moment to thank Salesforce for their support of today's Ziglar Show. If you do marketing in your business, hopefully you realize that mass emails or general ad campaigns are not so effective anymore. Salesforce is here to help. You can create a new path with your marketing and deliver the unique brand experiences your customers want. With Salesforce, marketers open doors between business units by sharing data to collaborate across marketing, sales, service, and commerce. Be smarter and more predictive with your marketing by making recommendations using collaborative data, and solve concerns with service integration. Engage your customers on any device and channel in real time, from social media to your connected products, gathering key insights into your customer and business relationships at every stage. Adjust campaigns as you go to drive leads in your pipeline. Do all this and more while collecting data from every interaction to build a complete view of every customer and manage your marketing strategy from your desk or your phone. Be a customer trailblazer. Discover one connected platform for one connected customer experience with Salesforce, the customer success platform. Learn more at salesforce.com/Ziglar. Again, that's salesforce.com/Ziglar. Well, Zig goes on to talk more about building success one step at a time. And, you know, ultimately, folks, he's talking about one of his favorite topics, daily habits, what we do each and every day. I mean, imagine not brushing your teeth for 30 days out of the month, then brushing all day long on the 31st. I mean, folks, your breath and appearance is going to stink all month long, and you're going to suffer consequences from that. You'll drive people from your presence, greatly limit your opportunities. And after a short time, you're going to get cavities and ultimately lose your teeth at a young age. And nobody wants that. For dental and appearance health, you must brush daily, right? Better to brush 2 minutes a day than all day long, 24 hours straight for one day out of the month. Okay. Well, same in fitness. I mean, you can't be sedentary all week, then run a marathon on the weekend and hope to have a great benefit. You're probably going to get hurt. I mean, you can't overcompensate for the week of doing nothing. It doesn't work that way. You're better off to run 1 mile every day of the week, totaling 7 miles, than to run 10 miles one day per week. I mean, it is absolute fact. The benefit is 100 to 1. It's why we're seeing people, even people who exercise to a daily degree, but then are sedentary, sit on their butts in their seats all day long and don't move, that there's a detriment to that. I mean, obviously benefit that they're exercising daily, but just being sedentary. I mean, we have so many experts who are citing the results of, if we just get up from our desk and stand up once every hour or a couple times a day, even, or a standing desk like what I use, you get the point. I mean, how many steps of success are we taking daily? So when he talks about those just daily, one step at a time, that's it. During our day, we have so many steps. We have a finite amount of steps that we can take, of energy that we have, of time that we have. And in that, can we find a small deposit for all these areas of success that we want? They add up to dramatic things. Well, Zig mentions loving people who are on a growth mode, that he loves people who he views are on a growth mode. And I thought, man, that's interesting. How many people do you know who you would say that person's on a growth mode? It's an interesting exercise. If I take, and you could do this too, if we take 10 people that you see on a fairly regular basis, okay, people that you even, friends that you respect, but just 10 people, and label them and say, who of them are on a growth mode, that you know that they're a person who is striving to better themselves, striving to better their work, striving to improve their relationships, striving to really grow their family. I mean, how many people do you really know that are consistently seeking to become better or to build better things? I mean, it's exciting or inspiring when we see that. But then think again with the people you know, how many of them are talking ideas and building and progressing versus how many are just maintaining, keeping the status quo, coasting, which coasting sounds like a bad word, but I think a lot of people who are doing the responsible, and I do that in quotes, the responsible American thing, they're making sure their butt's covered and they're just moving along and life is kind of where it's going to be and they just keep going. And it sounds kind of bad to discount that because it doesn't mean that we're just applauding those who are valiantly striving, but who being in a growth mode, how can we not be in a growth mode? I mean, from a biblical standpoint, from a Christian standpoint, which we often come from on the Zig Show, we're called to that constant growth, accepted, fully accepted today for who we are and not accepted anymore tomorrow by what we strive for or not. It's not about acceptance. It's not about salvation. It's not about grace. It's not about love, but it is about a calling and a calling to renew our minds every day. That's a scripture. It's a big one. It's a huge one. To renew my, if I renew my mind every day, just like if I exercise every day, I progress. Or I don't have the decline that others have that is now normal, right? Man, this is a big issue. Now, of course, we also know people who are striving to survive and they are going downhill. So, I mean, to think about that and, of course, then to think, okay, which one am I? I mean, though, as always, by proxy of being here listening to the Zig Show right now, I know you are growth-minded, as am I, even if we're struggling. Okay, it doesn't mean that we're not struggling. It just means that we are striving to grow. We are striving to better ourselves. We are striving to increase and expound upon our strengths and shore up our weaknesses. We keep fighting. We keep hoping and striving toward more things, believing and doing. Well, last point here, Zig talks about the story of the doctor and the pilot, right? The doctor or the pilot who says, gosh, this guy at the similar age, he's a doctor. And he puts himself at a lesser position. The doctor says, man, you're a pilot teaching people to fly, and how we see each other and how we don't see our own glory in a lot of ways, because what we do well is normal for us. And yet for somebody else, it's profound. And we see that with other people. I'm sure you've done that. I think that's what gives us all that propensity to go, oh my gosh, you're amazing with that. And the other person goes, oh no, self-deprecating to a degree. But a lot of times I think it's real. They're not bashing themselves. They just really don't see the glory in that. That's just what they do well. What's obvious to us is often extraordinary to other people, which folks, in show 434, that's what Jeff Goins talked about. If you haven't listened to that, again, it's another must listen to. If you've listened to it once, you need to listen to it twice. I'm telling that to myself. I need to as well. Well, in this, again, the thing to ponder is ourselves. What do we do that we know we do it well? We have a competency in, and realize that's an extraordinary thing to a lot of people. Don't minimize it. Give it away. Get in shape. All right. Well, folks, thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for walking with me as we strive to pursue our best and to inspire our true performance. I'll talk with you in the next Ziglar Show.